forgiveness. We're looking in regard, we'll look at the writing of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. When we consider what was transpiring with Daniel, we've looked within our Bible study on the morning section dealing with Jeremiah. Jeremiah and Daniel were contemporaries, if you will. Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. Daniel is in Babylon. Ultimately, he will be in the area of Persia dealing with Darius the Mede. And so we have Daniel's dealings with the people in Babylon. And he's a statesman, basically, is what he is. And when we find in Daniel chapter 9, this is a prayer. When we consider what had transpired with Daniel, see what we have here, in verse 1 and 2. He said that in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, the Medes and the Persians, those areas where Iran is, over in that particular area was that of the Medes. We have Xerxes, Artaxerxes, Ahasuerus. These are names that were given to the kings, their dynasties within what they did. And it said that concerning him who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. And so where the Chaldeans were to actually the west of Persia, you know, he's now made, they brought him in. We have the great empires, one of them that of Babylon, and Daniel dealt with that, with the image, that here's this image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had this vision about this great image, and he was the head of gold, and it went from him to the Medes and the Persians, which is where Daniel is, the latter part of his life, and then it will go to that of the Grecians, which was under Alexander the Great, and then it'll go on in to Rome. Now the first three are mentioned, that of Babylon, the Medes, the Persians, and the Grecians. The latter one is not called by name, but with the divisions that took place with it and the events surrounding it, it was that of the Romans. And it would be in those days that God would set up his king in the kingdom. And so Daniel is dealing with this matter during the time of the Medes and the Persians. And in verse 2, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishing of the desolation of Jerusalem, even 70 years. And so we find of where he had identified this matter, Daniel had the confidence in regards to that of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had reported that it would be 70 years. And so Daniel, he says, I know. Now Daniel was a prophet himself, but he said, I understand by the writings of Jeremiah that it's going to be 70 years. 70 years is up. It's time. That's what he said. And so that being the case, verse 3, Daniel said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Jehovah my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from thy precepts and from thine ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets that spake in the name of our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So these servants, the prophets, they spake to their fathers in the name of the Lord. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face, as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. Now, we think about Assyria, that Assyria took the northern kingdoms and scattered them. Right? And so Daniel is talking about all of Israel, all of the people of Israel that have been distributed throughout the lands. The reason they have been so distributed is because of their trespass against the laws of God. That's what he said. This is why. And now he's going to build on this. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, as you said before, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of Jehovah our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even turning aside that they should not obey thy voice. Therefore has the curse been poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, and we have sinned against him. Now Moses had said that when you turn away from the Lord, here's what's going to happen to you. You'll go into captivity. And Daniel says, we're reaping the benefits, or adverse benefits, of what Moses said. He told us we would be cursed if we did that. We did that. And now we're cursed. And he said, so it's because of that event, it's our own fault. Because we were told about it. We were told not to do this, or this is what's going to happen. We did it. So now we're suffering from it. Verse 13, he said, verse 12. And he has confirmed his word, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet have we not entreated the favor of Jehovah our God, that we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in thy truth. So he identifies that point, that even though we knew this, we never did entreat the Lord. We know that the result, why we're suffering, what we're suffering, is because of our iniquities and our sins, but we didn't entreat the Lord, even though we knew what the cause was. Verse 14, therefore has Jehovah watched over the evil and brought it upon us, for Jehovah our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, let thine anger and thy wrath, I pray thee, be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are round about us. Now therefore, O our God, hearken unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. And so we find David had also made a similar statement in regards to when David was suffering from oppression of his enemies, that he said that asked God to deliver him. He says, not for my sake, okay, not for my sake, but for your sake, that you will be glorified. And that's what Daniel said. We're suffering, we have the affliction, but we brought it on ourselves. Right? But you said after 70 years you'll help us. Now help us. It'll fulfill the prophecy of what you've given. It will magnify your name because it's exactly what's going to happen of what you said would happen. And so for your glory, we're asking you to do this. Now what we have a problem with, anytime that we're suffering from affliction or we're having problems and we want deliverance because we're tired of getting hit. Israel had that one time. They were just suffering. Their enemies were there and they feignly, and that's what Jeremiah said, they feignly turned to the Lord. We'll repent if you help us. All right? We're tired of getting hit, basically is what they said. and the Lord heard them, and he relieved them. But their reason wasn't for the glory of God. It was because they were tired of getting hit. But when God delivered them, it reflected upon his glory of helping his people. And so he identified, verse 20, he said, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before Jehovah my God for the holy mountain and for my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice." They had sacrifices, one in the morning, one in the evening. It had been attributed by the rabbis that the morning sacrifice was for the sins that were committed during the night, and the evening sacrifice was for the sins that were committed during the day. All right, they covered these bases. So about that time, around 5, what would be our 5, 6 o'clock, or whatever the case is, during the time of the evening sacrifice, that he came to him, and he instructed me and talked with me. This is Gabriel talking to Daniel, and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth, and I am come to tell thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore consider the matter and understand the vision." Now what we have, when you think about this, 70 years is up. Nothing's happening. God given the prophecy through Jeremiah in 70 years. Daniel was taken in the first exile. There were 3 exiles. One that took place around 605, I believe it was. Then one in 595, and then ultimately in 586, that these 3 were done. Well, Daniel was taken in the first one, the first exile. And so Daniel says, 70 years is up. Gabriel says, when you started, at the beginning of your supplication, the Lord put the conclusion in motion. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. God gives us promises, but we don't ask. I've given you the promise. All you have to do is ask, and I'll put it into play. And that's what he did here. And so we find that Gabriel said, "At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth, and I'm come to tell thee." It's going to happen. And so from that point, we find in chapter 10, when you get over there, Gabriel's going to give him some symbolic references to the period of the time of the Messiah, that what we have in 24 through the rest of it, in regards to what's going to happen to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. He's going to give him that information. But the coming of the Messiah, he says, here's when it's going to take place. And that's what you have in 24 through the rest of this chapter. But in chapter 10, in verse 1, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, even a great warfare." And so he's going to identify this matter that between the decree of Cyrus and the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, that's how long this is going to take. All right, be that as it may. When we go back, now having identified this, now you saw how many different times that Daniel was told, or Daniel said, "We have sinned, our kings and our fathers. We've sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've transgressed the laws of God, we didn't do what Moses said for us to do, therefore this curse is upon us." Time and time again, he says, we own our transgression. And because of that, they actually had nothing coming. But he said, because of your great mercies, you have determined to forgive us. You've determined to once again settle us within our cities and to restore us. That's what he had identified. All right? So when we go back, we'll look at some of these terms, basically. In chapter 9, verse 3 of Daniel, Daniel said, "I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." This matter of setting the face is one of a sense of entity. It deals with a focus. I've set my face toward the Lord. I have said it there, expressing the intenseness of his spirit in prayer. This was something that Daniel took seriously. That is evidenced by the matter of what he did as a result of it. In Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 and verse 11, we see this matter in regards to the of what God requires of his people. He's telling them in chapter 12 of this matter, verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. For he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorteth to his exhorting. So he's identified that whatever it is that you have, you give attention to it. Now, in verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor, preferring one another. And that preferring doesn't mean, well, I like you better than I do somebody else. That's not that type of preferring. This is a matter of preferring that you go before. You show them the way, if you will. You do it. Okay? And so he identifies this intensity, ultimately in verse 11, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit. And that's what Daniel was within this prayer. And this is put in contrast, if we could, as Revelation 3, when John was speaking of the church of Laodicea, he said in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, we have a tendency of, there are things that we expect to be hot. And if they're cold, we send them back, or we reheat them. If we expect it to be cold and it's hot, send it back. Bring us the cold. And you would basically spew it out of your mouth because it's not what it ought to have been. And so the Lord says with the church of Laodicea, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, therefore I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what he identified. Well, what Daniel was doing was that he was fervent within his spirit when he was talking to that of the Lord as far as the prayer was concerned. Therefore, we find in the writing of James, and this tells us something. Well, it tells us a couple of things in regard to that of Elijah. But in James 5 and verse 16, he said that the supplications of a righteous man availeth much in its working. All right, the supplications of the righteous man availeth much in its working. Elijah was a man of like passion with us. That means he was just a man. Had the same thing. Some individuals say, well, Elijah was the Lord. And Elijah wasn't really, he was a spirit representing. But he says here, he was just a man of like passion. He had the same nature that we have. And he prayed fervently, and this matter is with prayer. He prayed with prayer, or he, you know, we kind of use good, better, best. You know, you pray with prayer. The Lord said, verily, verily, or, you know, understand, he's putting a double emphasis on it. And so this matter, he prayed with prayer. He fervently prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. So here was a matter of fervent prayer, and that's what Daniel is involved in. He is involved in a fervent prayer to the Lord regarding the promise that God had given unto him. And therefore he has his focus and his disposition in verse 4, and I prayed unto Jehovah my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. And so Daniel is actually going to refer to what the Lord said that he would do for his people. He keeps his focus upon this. We find that prayer is it. We have the terms. It's intercession. Daniel is making an intercession on behalf of others. In the writing of Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah 7 and verse 16, when he said, therefore, pray not thou for this people. Here's what the Lord told Jeremiah. The people are rebellious. They're willful in their rebellion against the Lord. They're following their idolatry. And so the Lord says, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. One of the jobs of the prophet was to pray for the people. It was hard for them not to pray for the people. Not just because it's a job, but because they understand the significance of it. When we pray, do we pray for others? Do we pray that they'll be strong in their service to the Lord? Do we pray that they will maintain their faith? Do we do that? And if the Lord said, don't pray for him, he is so far gone into idolatry and wickedness and willful rebellion, don't pray for him. It's hard to do. But that's what the Lord told Jeremiah. And so when we find that this prayer that Daniel was setting forth, he was doing so in the intercession for his people. We have done this. We, Israel, our kings, our fathers, this is what we've done. And Daniel is making intercession in the behalf of, to intercede for somebody else is what's involved. Supplications are earnest prayers to in regard to it, entreaty, to plead, to make a request. So Daniel's making a request for not him, but for his people and to the glory of God. That's what he's doing. So that prayer and supplication, we have different terms that are utilized in reference to how we pray. Make sure that we give thanks to the Lord. Right? Recognize his power. We do that. We make supplications, prayers, intercessions, requests, all of that. And that's what Daniel's doing in regard to this. Fasting, as we understand, is to abstain from food. Now, it's not just a matter of we're just going to fast. I just don't want to eat. We might fast for different reasons. But this one puts attention upon what he's doing. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the church that was in Antioch, we find that there were there, at in the church, prophets, teachers. We have Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod, the patriarch, and Saul. And Saul is Paul, the apostle Paul. Verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called it. So when they ministered to the Lord, they were giving attention. It was a public manifestation as they performed these religious functions. And it was serious enough to them that they fasted in reference to do so. They had removed from themselves that common bodily hunger to attend to what was there. Verse 3, then when they had, now the Holy Spirit said, you separate Barnabas and Saul, I have a work that I want them to do. And you separate them, and actually the church at Antioch sent them on their way, provided for their sustenance. Says, I'm going to send Barnabas and Saul to this work, and you have a responsibility to send them on their way. And that's not just a matter of, well, there it is, go do it. But they made sure that they had the provisions available to do it. And so he said that when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This laying on of hands was one of approval. They weren't imparting to them any gifts. Paul had all the gifts as an apostle. So it's a indication of approval. The Lord said, send you, we're sending you, and here that you go about doing it. And so when this matter, before they did, that when they had fasted, they prayed. They prepared themselves. We kind of have a deal with the body. The body operates that when we eat, all the blood goes to the help generate and digest the food. Okay? In fasting, it goes to the brain. Right, so when we eat, before we do something, we're just sending all that thinking ability and reasoning and discernment, we're sticking it in our gut. And it's kind of like what they said, where their God is their belly. You know, that's where their focus is. And so this matter of the fasting, of what it does with perception, and you give attention and you give focus to what you're doing in regard to that particular matter. That's what Daniel was doing. He also said with sackcloth and ashes. Now sackcloth was kind of like what the old gunny sack, that burlap. That's kind of what that sackcloth is. It's a rough. They would put it against their skin, between their skin and their clothing, and it would just rub, and it was that old roughness, and it was a matter of a public demonstration of mourning. In the writing of First or Second Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 30, what had happened with Israel of the northern kingdom before they were taken into captivity? They were surrounded. Some said completely surrounded. That's a kind of a redundant. They were surrounded. They couldn't get out. Nothing went out, nothing came in. As a result of that, they ran out of food. And so what they did, here was an occasion of two women, that one of them, their children, they died, actually, is what happened to them. And one says that we'll eat your son today and then my son tomorrow. Right? And so they agreed. And so they ate the one son. And then when it come tomorrow, the other woman wouldn't allow it, not going to have it. So he goes to the king and said, here's what we did, and now she won't fulfill her end of the bargain. And in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 30, we find that it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. Now he was passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. All right, so he had the sackcloth on, then he had his clothes over that. But they saw it. This was a public demonstration of mourning. He says, what can I do? And so that's what we have with sackcloth. And the ashes, they just kind of put on their head. You know, sometimes if it was a deal with, as I believe it was with Job, it was a matter of to help with his boils and his physical ailments of what he had. But that's the attitude that Daniel had in reference to his prayer. That he begins to pray, he's fasted, he's put on sackcloth and ashes, that shows the determination in regards to that of what he is doing. All right, now once he had done that, we find back in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4 that he said in regard to the Lord, and I prayed unto Jehovah my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from thy precepts and from thine ordinances. We find in verse 7 that he specifically has reference to their turning away from the Lord in reference to, well, verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face as at this day. To the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and that all Israel that are near and that are far off throughout the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they trespass against thee. And it goes back to the matter of what they did as opposed to what Moses told them to do. And so in regard to it, it's specifically concerning the sins resulting from the captivity or resulting in the captivity. So I'm praying for everybody that's in captivity all over everywhere because we've all transgressed the laws of God. And we find that Daniel's prayer was consistent with Solomon's petition to the Lord, because Solomon had petitioned the Lord that Daniel, when he prayed, Daniel 6:10, identified he prayed three times a day. He would go to his window, he would open his window toward Jerusalem, and he would pray in reference to that. Well, Solomon in 1 Kings 8, verse 28 through 30, that when he was dedicating the temple, that he made these very requests concerning Israel when it went into captivity. And he said in verse 28, "Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Jehovah my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant," which would be Solomon, "prayeth before thee this day, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day," that'd be the temple, "even toward the place whereof thou hast said, my name shall be there." That was Jerusalem. "To hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall pray toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. Yea, hear them in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive." When they do it, when they recognize that. And that's what Daniel was doing in this particular prayer. Right? We're going to stop there, and I've got another list this long of what we're not going to go there. We'll look at this next week, that this prayer, it's all set up. Daniel is praying, intense nature of it, what he's praying for, the reason he's praying for it, and then, Lord willing, next week we're going to see what he does when he makes confession of it. Because these matters of seeking forgiveness, that there are rules, if you will, conditions, that the Lord will forgive, but he has conditions. And unless we approach it in the manner that Daniel did, that Solomon did, that Paul did, it's not going to happen. And so we're setting for this matter of seeking forgiveness. How do we get it? How do we get that forgiveness? So we'll stop there, Lord willing, next Lord's Day.